You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
LeBron James had Lakers fans salivating on Monday after posting a video where he appears to be back on the court working out with the caption, "Coming soon to a city near you. I'm really, really real." James has been out since March 20th with a high ankle sprain. The prognosis called for him to sit out 4 to 6 weeks. Over on the East Coast, the Nets are still waiting for the return of James Harden. Harden sustained a strained right hamstring on March 31st against the Rockets. Head coach Steve Nash gave no timetable for return, but we do know that Harden had suffered a setback with that hamstring on April 20th. That reported by our Adrian Wojnarowski. Can I get Kendrick Perkins on my screen? We will get him in just a moment. He's not ready. There he is. There we go with the Cheshire Cat smile. I need that good energy this morning. What's going on, Big Perk?
What's that?
I'm going to start with you here, though, Max. Which return from injury are you anticipating most? Is it King James or Harden?
It's actually James Harden. Schroeder has grown in LeBron's absence, and that'll be good and everything. But here's the thing, guys. Who are we playing right now? Who are we kidding right now? When James Harden gets back, let's remember, when it was just him sometimes, or him and Kyrie, they were beating everybody. They have the best record in the East now. The three of those guys have hardly played together. I'm saying when Harden gets back, and it's Harden and KD and Kyrie, and KD's fully integrated in terms of the minutes and everything, this is going to be the greatest offense in the history of American team sports. This is going to be like the Golden State Warriors were, but better. Because with the Golden State Warriors, at least, like, what could you do? One of two things, right? You could say, well, make Klay put the ball on the floor and make decisions, which he could do. But it's not like that's what he's there for, right? So the third member of the big three on offense here is Kyrie. You want to have him put the ball on the floor? Good luck with that. He's going to kill you. And the other thing is, we saw a Houston team against that Golden State team, just by shooting so many threes and playing that D'Antoni system, come close to knocking off a fully loaded KD Golden State Warriors team. Here's the thing, though. D'Antoni, they're running D'Antoni's system in Brooklyn. His protege, Steve Nash, is the head coach of D'Antoni sitting on the bench. So good luck with that. You're not going to out D'Antoni, that team. When Harden gets back, I look forward to seeing the greatest offense in any sport ever assembled. The answer is James Harden.
You're wrong, but nothing new there. The bottom line is this. When you look at the Brooklyn Nets, I would remind you, Max Kellerman, that they're 41-20. They're the number one seed in the Eastern Conference. Kyrie is still a showstopper. And when Kevin Durant is in the game, we know how prolific he is. You are right about the fact that the three of them together, they've only played 7 games together, and once the three of them together, we might see the most prolific offense we've ever seen. They're pretty damn close to prolific right now. But that's neither here nor there. My question to you is, albeit rhetorical, have you seen the Los Angeles Lakers without LeBron James? They've lost. They recently lost 4 straight before winning last night. The fact of the matter is they've been struggling. They're the 5th seed in the Western Conference. And actually, Max Kellerman, to some degree, it's almost because of the greatness we anticipate from the Brooklyn Nets that we need to see LeBron out there. Why? Because AD was gone. He was gone for 2 months after, irritating his calf. And we wondered about his health. And obviously, he came back rusty. But he'll be fine. And then you acquired Andre Drummond. And so because you acquired Drummond and you've got AD coming back, we want to see, once LeBron arrives, because he's the man and he runs their offense, what the Lakers are going to look like and whether or not they're going to be ready to stave off this juggernaut in, as we know it, the Brooklyn Nets to be, or expect them to be. That's why LeBron, anticipation for LeBron, appears to be more profound, because we already see where Brooklyn is already and can only imagine what they're going to be once they get James Harden. LeBron is the only person, him joining the rest of the Lakers, that give you some hope that the finals is going to be competitive.
All right, let's get Perkin.
Well, I see it like this here. First of all, Max, I totally disagree with you. And here's why. When I look at both of those guys and both of those teams, the Lakers and the Nets, James Harden and LeBron James, I'm looking at their ceiling, okay? Fully healthy, both organizations, their ceiling is to win a championship. If LeBron James and Anthony Davis is healthy, their chances on winning a championship is high. If James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant is healthy, their ceiling on winning a championship is high. Here's why I say LeBron James is, I'm anticipating LeBron James coming back and the need for him to come back, okay? Without LeBron James, the ceiling for the Lakers is maybe getting past the first round. I mean, going to the second round, maybe getting to the second round, but getting swept, okay? They might not get out the first round. I'm setting the bar pretty high by saying getting to the second round. They might not get out the first round. When you look at the Brooklyn Nets and James Harden, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, both are capable of taking the Brooklyn Nets to the finals without James Harden. Are they capable of winning the championship without James Harden? No, but they're capable of taking their team and their ceiling is going to the finals. When you look at the Los Angeles Lakers, I'm like, if LeBron James would have been missing for the whole part of the season, they might have been in the lottery. So right now, LeBron James has to come back because they have to build chemistry. This is not their team from last year. You have Ben McLemore. You have Andre Drummond, who's only played about 10 games in a Laker uniform. Anthony Davis coming back off an injury. Frank Vogel has to figure out his rotations. At least the Brooklyn Nets, the role players have now found their way. Joe Harris knows his role. He knows how to play off of Kyrie Irving. He knows how to play off of Kevin Durant. He knows how to play off of James Harden. So I'm anticipating LeBron James.
Look, you guys are answering a different question. Is it whose return is more important for their team? Yes, I agree. What are the Lakers going to do without LeBron? The answer is nothing. What do we really need to see when LeBron gets back? Can Schroeder do Rondo in the playoffs, right? And we know they're defending champs. We know if they get it all together, they have a good chance to get out of the West. This is what I'm saying. We have a chance to see something we've never seen before in any sport. In any of the Peyton Manning Colts offense back, they would just think of a great juggernaut kind of offense in any sport, not like this Nets team. You bring up Joe Harris. Joe Harris is the greatest shooting fourth option in the history of basketball. Joe Harris takes 6-7 threes a game and hits almost 50% of them. Think about the death lineup in Golden State, right? So that was Steph and Clay and Harrison Barnes and Iguodala and Draymond, right? How do you like this death lineup? Because instead of Iguodala shooting the three, it's Joe Harris, one of the best three-point shooters we've ever seen. And otherwise, you have three MVP caliber players on the same team offensively, can all get their shots at historically great levels, can all score from anywhere, three-point range, mid-range, free
this
throw
is,
line,
Max,
in the paint,
you realize
historically
more,
great levels. You don't want to see that?
The more you're talking, this is why we don't like listening to you talk basketball. Because what you're saying, Max, is this. This is exactly why. Because what you're
because
saying,
I'm
let me finish.
You in the debate.
Let me finish. You couldn't if you prayed to. If you prayed to, you couldn't do it. Here's the point,
Max. I don't have to pray. I'm doing
it now. The point is this. You sit up there and you seem like somebody who would be completely satisfied seeing the Brooklyn Nets play by their damn self. We want competition. We don't want to just sit up there. We don't want to just sit up there and see like a damn virtual layup line or some and one game or something like that. We want to see competition. We want to see you go up against a monster. Two monsters going up against what you got. The level of competition matters.
So you don't want to see the Nets fully healthy is what you're saying.
I didn't say that. What I said is when you talk about what's more anticipated, the reason why is we already anticipate what the Nets are going to be because even without Harden, we're seeing some semblance of it. When the Lakers come on board, once LeBron comes back healthy, if they what we anticipate, they will be. Now you got something special to look forward to. You're waiting for the encounter. Somewhat similar, Max, to why I keep salivating for the Lakers going up against the Clippers. I want LeBron against Kawhi.
Yeah.
I don't want LeBron against Nurkic.
But we know the Lakers are really healthy. They're against the Joker. Champs.
I want LeBron against Kawhi. And I want LeBron against KD. I want Kyrie against LeBron. I want that stuff. That's why you anticipate it. Could you imagine if the finals come up and it's KD against LeBron again? Oh, and now you got Kyrie who would love to beat up on LeBron.
Yeah.
If he could, you have any idea
sure.
the storylines that come with that? That's what we're looking for.
That's why we both want to see, we all want to see them both come back. They're both
anticipated.
Which is more anticipated? LeBron coming back to a team, we already know how good they're going to be. They're
KD
the defending
and Kyrie
champion.
Without Harden going against
Harden
LeBron would be appealing.
Or James Harden coming back to a team that we really haven't seen yet. We have not seen the Brooklyn Nets at full strength yet. I want to see that. I want to see it heading into the playoffs.
Well, I'm going to tell you why I'm anticipating LeBron James even more. Forget making it to the championship. I want to see how the Lakers are going to look just coming out of the Western Conference. When you look how hard and how better teams have gotten, the Utah Jazz, the Denver Nuggets, Stephen A., I was wrong. They still balling without Jamal Murray, okay? The Phoenix Suns with Chris Paul, Devin Booker, Cam Johnson, Bridges, DeAndre Ayton, the way that they're playing phenomenal basketball right now. And my favorites that are in the Western Conference right now, the Los Angeles Clippers. I said this before the season started, that they needed a floor general. That's all they was missing. And they went out and got Rajon Rondo. The guy that they took from the Lakers. The Lakers didn't sign him back. They took him for granted. And since the Clippers got Rondo, they have been a completely different team. Hell, yep. Not just the team. Paul George has been a completely different player. That's the Rondo effect. Reggie Jackson. So I'm anticipating the Lakers and the Clippers meeting up in somewhere in the Western Conference before we even think about the finals. And this is why I'm anticipating LeBron James getting back. Because I want to see that matchup.
Hey, Max, you want to faint, Max? You want to faint?
Go ahead.
If LeBron James goes through the Clippers with Kawhi and Paul George and Rondo, and then he goes and beats Kevin Durant, I'm not going to go that far. He'll never be number one to me over MJ. But I will say this. I won't have a critical word to say about LeBron James for the rest of his career.
If
he
wins
this chip and he goes through those two, he goes through a fully loaded Clippers and a fully loaded Brooklyn, I will sit up there and I might have to bow down to the king.
If LeBron James this year goes through not just the Clippers, but there's a chance he'll have to go through the Clippers, the Suns, and the Jazz
before he even gets to the Nets.
If they're all healthy, Stephen A., and the big three are healthy in Brooklyn and LeBron wins the whole thing, he has a hell of a case against Jordan this year. That's because if the Nets are fully loaded, I don't think they can lose. But I'd like to see it because we haven't seen them fully loaded yet.
Well, here's the good news. LeBron is coming to a city near you, Stephen A., so you can see him live in person.
Bow down to the king.
Yeah, how about it?
I had to bow down to the king.
We'll talk to you soon.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. Even in last night's three-point loss to the Spurs, Russell Westbrook managed to make history by breaking the NBA record for most triple-doubles in a calendar month with 12, breaking a tie with Wilt Chamberlain from March 1968. Here's what Russ had to say about his historic evening.
For me, I take pride, like I said, every single night, and leaving it all on the floor. I honestly believe there is no player like myself. And if people want to take it for granted, sorry for them. But I'm pretty sure if everybody could do it, they'll do it. I don't care what nobody thinks about it. I take a lot of pride in taking care of my body. I take a lot of pride in competing every night. I don't take nights off. I don't cheat the game.
We got Big Perk back here with us. Stephen A., do you think Westbrook is being taken for granted?
No, I don't believe he's being taken for granted. Not at all. And let me state for the record, Kendrick Perkins wasn't supposed to be here. I wanted him to be here. This is a guy that knows Russell Westbrook. He's a guy that's a friend and former teammate of Russell Westbrook. He cares about Russell Westbrook dearly. And if I'm unfair in any way, Kendrick Perkins would tell me. So I wanted to make sure that I articulated my position right in front of him to make sure that I'm fair, because I want to be fair. Russell Westbrook is one of the greatest talents this game has ever seen. He is unquestionably the most athletic point guard the game has ever seen. He has 175 career triple-doubles. He is six shy of the all-time record by Oscar Robertson, who had 181 career triple-doubles in his career. Russell Westbrook is going into the Hall of Fame one day. By the way, I'm out here in California, Max, Molly, Kendrick Perkins, and I'm driving to Sherman Oaks, and I'm driving towards Burbank, wherever the hell it was, and there's Russell Westbrook car dealerships all down the avenue. He's a businessman. He's a model citizen. He's an incredible role model, family man. All of that stuff is fine. He's not one thing, and that's an NBA champion. Yes, he is a champion at life. He's not an NBA champion. Now we have to sit up there and analyze this. When Russell Westbrook says what he says, it's to be appreciated from the standpoint that if you have a franchise, you should want Russell Westbrook on your squad. Because Russell Westbrook does not cheat the game, and he is going to give it to you every night. All of those things are true. What Russell Westbrook is missing is that with greatness comes great responsibility, and that's being in pursuit of a championship, as opposed to saying, this is what I'm doing. The hell with the results. It is what it is, because I'm still a winner in life. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Nobody said anything about that. And when your career is over, we will celebrate your greatness. But we'd celebrate you even more if you were a champion. Now, you've been to four conference finals. You've been to an NBA finals when Kevin Durant and cats like that were your teammates. Once Kevin Durant departed, you went home in the first round three straight years. You go to Houston, you go home in the semifinals. You're in Washington, and when everybody was raving about the triple-doubles, you were 13 games under 500 at that time. Now you're in the play-in game. So now you're winning games more than losing, and y'all are making a run, you and Bradley Beal and the rest of the crew. And so now is the time to say, okay, all right, that's what we're talking about, Russ. But at times when he speaks, it's like no matter the outcome, he just wants us to look at his numbers. No, you're too great for that. We will not just look at your numbers because you're too great for that. You're too great to go home in the first round. You're too great to go home before the playoffs. Greatness like yours, the public is clamoring to see it when it counts. And there's nothing wrong with that. Greatness comes great responsibility. That's the responsibility you have as a professional athlete with his level of greatness until it's over. And I will never deviate from that thinking.
Stephen A., you're preaching the gospel right there. I don't want to debate that point so much as I want to explain something that I think about Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook, I love what he said, because he gives you everything he's got all the time. It's the reason, like, really, when you boil it down, he's my favorite player to watch. He gives it. Now, Sandy Koufax, who turned out to be the greatest starting pitcher ever, probably, in his prime, was wild when he was young in Brooklyn, before the Dodgers moved to L.A., and he had a pitching coach tell him, like, take 5% off, throwing 100 miles an hour. Take a little bit off. And when he did that and he got under control, that's when he reached the next level, like this, in, you know, the greatest ever. And it's almost like someone needs to tell Westbrook that, to your point, Stephen A. But the thing is, sometimes that's fundamentally who someone is. Westbrook can't take 5% off. He wouldn't be Westbrook. The thing that makes him great is that he goes all out all the time. And so that's one. The second thing is, it's not his fault the league changed out from under him. Now, Stephen A., you could say, well, you got to adapt. I'm not going to argue that. He'd be even greater if he could. Because Westbrook's the one dude I've ever seen where literally play to play, I think one play, that's the best player I've ever seen. And the next play, oh, you can't win with Russell Westbrook, right? Like play to play, I think that sometimes. But the league changed out from under him. In almost any other era, he'd retire as a top 20 player ever, right? In almost any other era, he'd be putting up these great numbers, and I think he'd be winning more. But the game has become so much about shooting from the outside, and he's just not a very good outside shooter. If Russell Westbrook was a 40% shooter from three, he might be the best player ever. It's just not the, for whatever reason, I don't think it's not from practice or desire, he's just not a very good shooter from the outside. And so now we stole hand-wringing and playing armchair psychologists and trying to figure him out. He just doesn't shoot it well enough. But I cannot knock what he says in public about that stuff, how hard he tries, and I think he is a winner. But I also can't debate with you, Stephen A. He has not won a championship. That is a fact, and he's been on a lot of great teams.
Well, I'm going to say this, all right? How do we view a guy like Chris Paul, right? We view Chris Paul as arguably a top five point guard to ever play the game, right? He's never won a championship, okay? And that's no knock on Chris Paul. And here's the problem that I have when it comes to winning championships in a team sport, okay? It's not an individual sport like boxing, tennis, or golf, where championships define your whole legacy. Sometimes it's about where you are at the right place at the right time. And you may be doing your part, but you just don't have the personnel around you to get the job done. Now, I was in Oklahoma City when a young Russell Westbrook, a young Kevin Durant, a young James Harden went to the finals against a veteran ball club in the Miami Heat with the big three, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and LeBron James, and had Mike Miller and James Jones and all those vets to come in, and they was already battle-tested, right? These guys, Russell Westbrook and James Harden and KD, was just scratching the surface, okay? Then what happened? They go to a couple Western Conference Finals. James Harden leaves and go to Houston, gets traded to Houston. Russell Westbrook gets hurt 1 year. Kevin Durant gets hurt 1 year. Then all of a sudden they lose a 3-1 lead in the Western Conference Finals to the team that went on to win the championship in the Golden State Warriors, and KD bounces, okay? He leaves the organization, left for dead. What do Russell Westbrook do? He keeps a team relevant. He goes on a tear with the personnel he had. And I'm not disrespecting anybody around the league, because you're in the league, you're in the NBA, you're a top 450 players for a reason, okay? But Russell Westbrook, for 3 years, he dominated in Oklahoma City. I mean, with personnel that wasn't the makeup for a championship team. Now, yes, they did get Paul George, but I'm going to take y'all down memory lane for a second. In a crucial game seven, I forget, maybe it was the second year of Paul George being there or the first year, they go to Utah, okay? Utah, when it mattered the most, Russell Westbrook goes in there and I believe he dropped 45, all right, in Utah. Paul George had five points. I believe he was 5 for 17 from the field. And so you look at it and you like, PG, man, you got to step up, man. Russell did his part, okay? And then you go down to Houston last year. He shouldn't have been playing at all in the playoffs. But the Mamba mentality of him is what kept him on the floor. He was playing with a torn quad muscle that should have sidelined him for 8 to 12 weeks. Wow. But he didn't want to let James Harden down or the Houston Rockets down, so he went out there not even 50% and tried to perform. Look at this year, real quick, Stephen A. This year, He started off, he was injured. Not one time did he make an excuse. He didn't say nothing to the media about why he was playing horrible. He didn't say one word. People were talking about firing Scott Brooks and everything. After the All-Star break, or right before the All-Star break, when he got healthy, he took his game to a whole nother level. And now we're looking at the Washington Wizards possibly getting in the play-in. Right. If they get in the play-in, they're going to get into the playoffs. Wow. All I'm saying is that sometimes you just don't get in the right situation, and we should not take what this guy is doing for granted, because it's hard to average 20-10 in this league, let alone 20-10-10. And then he did it for four seasons. He's on his fourth time doing it in his career. That's all I got to say about it.
Well, Kendrick Perkins, let me take you down memory lane. You got your own memories. I have mine. Okay? And I'm not disputing anything that you just said. Let's keep in mind, no one said he should be taken for granted. A matter of fact, we are showing appreciation for his greatness. What we're saying is, again, with greatness comes great responsibility. So let's go with Kevin Durant. Let's bring that up. When Kevin Durant, and these are rhetorical questions, and put Kendrick Perkins up on the split screen, please, because I want to see him. Kendrick Perkins, if you recall, when KD departed, you know what the speculation was. You've been doing an outstanding job as an NBA analyst. I'm very, very proud of you, big little bro. No question about it. But you know what? You remember what was being said as to why Kevin Durant elected to leave. You heard the scuttlebutt out there that he and a lot of others didn't feel you could win with Russell Westbrook. Then we sit up there and we take into account you depart from Houston last year. You and James Harden were boys, and you still are boys. But in the same breath, you didn't necessarily want to play together. You had people out there in the NBA circles talking about it was more important for Russell Westbrook to play the way he wanted to play rather than win. I don't necessarily think that's fair to him because I don't know him to be that way. But my point is, with these kind of things being said, I'm looking at his numbers. I'm looking at his ability. I'm looking at his greatness. And what you're not doing is we're not taking it for granted. We're taking it, understanding his cachet, and then saying, why isn't he in a better situation? Why wasn't he in a better situation in Oklahoma City? Why wasn't he in a better situation than Houston? You know this about Russell Westbrook. He ain't some quiet mouse that's just going to go along to get along. He's a man's man. He's going to stand up. He's going to let you know where he stands and how he feels. He ain't going to take it public. He's not going to be unprofessional or anything like that. But that's how he rolls. He has something to do with the situations that his greatness finds him in. He's not some innocent bystander in all of that. His greatness allows us all to gloss over it because the greatness is unquestionable on so many levels. But because of it, there's nothing wrong with me and others, including you, KP, wanting to see this guy in a winning situation as opposed to scratching and clawing just to get to a buy-in playoff game or something like that. His greatness demands that he be in a better situation, not just because of him as a basketball player, but as a voice for a franchise to sit back and to tolerate what he's tolerated. Just because you're getting your numbers at the end and you showing the world that you busting your butt and you doing all you can, there have been questions as to whether or not all that needed to be done has been done by him.
Yeah, perfect. Right. And let me tell you something, Stephen A., and I'm not saying that you're taking what Russell Westbrook is doing for granted. Max, I know no one is, because what he's doing, going out there, Kobe Bryant blessed one guy that I heard with the Mamba mentality before he left. It's a lot of guys he took under his wing, but he said Russell Westbrook, he has that Kobe mentality. I know that for a fact. Yes. But I'm going to tell you the difference on what people were saying and some things that were facts, okay? When we talk about Oklahoma City and Kevin Durant leaving, the world always tried to divide Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook because of Russell Westbrook's style of play. You remember? We need a pure point guard. He needs to defer to Kevin Durant more, okay? And look, Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, they had their rough patches. But I also saw KG and Paul Pierce have their rough patches. I saw LeBron James and Kevin Love have their rough patches. You have rough patches when you're trying to compete for a championship. You're going to have disagreements if you care about the game of basketball. But I'm going to say this, and I love Sam Presti. I love Troy Weaver, okay? We know that Sam Presti grew up under what organization? The Spurs, right? And they have a way of going about things. They are bullheaded. They all about culture. They're not about individual success. And what happened was that when KD won MVP, I was there. Nike, this is facts. Nike wanted to put a big size poster of Kevin Durant on Chesapeake Arena.
Presti, and they wouldn't let him.
They would not let him. They would not let Kevin Durant brand himself enough and market himself enough because it was too much about team, right? And that played the biggest factor on why Kevin Durant left, because he was tired of being under that culture. And that's why when we saw him get to Golden State, we saw a different Kevin Durant. He started speaking out more freely. He started carrying himself a different way because he wasn't able to be that Kevin Durant in OKC. Now, I get what you're saying. It's time for Russ. And look, some people want to win championships. And I strongly believe that Russell Westbrook do want to win a championship. But where's Molly at right now?
Let me just say something.
Hold on, Max. I need to make this point. I need to ask where Molly at.
Yeah, I need to
see where Molly, because her husband, who's my brother, Jalen Rose, always said, when he spoke on the Damian Lillard situation, I watched Jalen and Jacoby daily. He spoke on Damian Lillard situation, and he was talking about guys leaving small markets or guys leaving teams to go and win the championship. Mm-hmm. And Dame Dolla basically is on the same page with Jalen Rose saying, I'm not running from the grind. I'm going to stay here. Is that going to define a guy's legacy because he want to stay with a franchise or he's not trying to run, jump ship to go be with somebody else to try to win the title?
That's what I wanted
to
address.
But if they're going out there and producing individually, it's hard for me to say something about it.
Perk, that's what I want to address. Stephen A., the one thing I would say about what you're saying is Russell Westbrook strikes me as the kind of guy, whatever hand he's dealt, he's going to go all out to try to win as much as possible. But that's not the same thing. Like, KD wouldn't have a championship if he didn't go join the Warriors, where he couldn't not win a championship, right? Russell Westbrook, maybe he'd like to do that, but that's not what wound up happening. So I will point, Perk, though, to a moment in time where the narrative would have changed. 2016, Oracle, Stephen A., I saw you there, Western Conference Game 7 and for Game 7 of the Finals. Westbrook and KD, and they had Ibaka, and they had Stephen Adams, they had a great team, got to a Game 7, it came down to the wire, and they were outplayed by Golden State. They did not play very well in that fourth quarter, and they lost. Same situation, LeBron and KD and Kyrie. Game 7 at Oracle, Game 7 of the Finals, then very next series, it came down to the wire, and LeBron and Kyrie rose up and outplayed the Warriors and won the chip. Those kind of small moments, or they're big moments, but those few minutes in a career like Russell Westbrook can completely alter the perception of him. And until he gets back into that situation, if he ever does, and outplays the other team, this theme is going to haunt him.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst reiterated his support for quarterback Aaron Rodgers in a Monday press conference. Let's listen.
Aaron's our guy. He's going to be our quarterback for the foreseeable future. We're excited about, you know, kind of the things we're going to try to accomplish here over the next couple of years. So we're not done yet. We've done a lot to get here. We've kind of been doing things as we go, and we will continue to do that as we go.
Aaron Rodgers, the MVP. Aaron's our guy. Damian Woody, good to see you, sir. We'll get to you in just a minute. But Stephen A., should Rodgers want to finish his career with Green Bay?
I absolutely believe he should want to finish his career at Green Bay. And that's not, you know, I want to be very, very clear because Damian Woody has brought this up on several occasions in the past. You know, Aaron Rodgers shouldn't be completely absolved from Green Bay having not won a championship since 2010. He's been a quarterback that entire time. They've gone to a few NFC championship games, but have not gotten over the hump. That's on him to some degree. No question about that. But he's carried this franchise on his shoulders for many years. And I think that when you look at it from strictly a football perspective, certainly you can make the argument he shouldn't want to go anywhere. They've gotten back-to-back 13-3 seasons with back-to-back appearances in the NFC championship game. You're in a position to compete for the championship. We get all of that. And because of that, that's what it's about. It's about football. But it's not just about football with Aaron Rodgers. It's about the manner in which he was treated. And I think that when you get to a certain point in your career, when you've established your level of greatness on a Hall of Fame level, and you're basically told to shut up, we run the organization, you just go play. And to know that there are a plethora of options out there that would treat you significantly better as a star, as a future Hall of Famer, and as a human being than the Green Bay Packers have purportedly treated him in the past, I do believe that it's time for him to go somewhere else where he could feel better appreciated and enjoy the twilight of his career. I do believe of all the things he could learn from Tom Brady, that's one of the top things he could learn from Tom Brady.
Although the difference between Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady is Tom Brady didn't have any weapons. Like, you could see that. Cam didn't have it the following
year.
And he went to a place. Yeah, he went to a place with a ton of weapons, made a football decision. You know, I was surprised. Oh, Tampa, Tom Brady really is just trying to win a Super Bowl. It's not about just building TB12, or if it is about that, he's smart because he's going to do it as a winner, right? The difference is Aaron Rodgers is on one of the best teams in football right now. Now, is he a big part of that? He is. But the Packers are really good on both sides of the ball, and presuming they don't draft another quarterback, which would be monumentally stupid, right? Presuming that they saw something in Jordan Love that they believe is going to be the next great quarterback, and that's why instead of getting Rodgers more help, they drafted for the future. Presuming that, why would Aaron Rodgers leave? I can't really look around and say, boy, that's a better situation than the Packers. You mentioned it, 13 wins, in two consecutive seasons. And by the way, beat Seattle in the playoffs year one with a head coach he's just getting to know and a system he's just getting to know. MVP year two, 13 wins, NFC championship game with a chance to go to, and given what the Chiefs' offensive line looked like in the Super Bowl, win the Super Bowl year two. They're live to win the Super Bowl again this year, especially after this upcoming draft. I'm anticipating I'll like the Packers best in the NFC. So unless you're talking about a place like San Francisco, which I think is actually very similar in terms of the quality of the team to the Packers, unless he gets to go back home, basically. If there's something like that, okay. Otherwise, I think that he should, if he can, end his career with the Packers, where I believe he has a really good chance to win another Super Bowl.
Yeah, listen, I tend to agree with Max here. Listen, I'll throw out another team that maybe I could see Aaron Rodgers go to, New Orleans Saints. You know, that could be a possible destination. But, I don't think the pasture is always greener on the other side. And when you look at the Green Bay Packers and what they've been able to do over the past 2 years, go to back-to-back NFC championship games, I mean, that's a really big feat. And Aaron Rodgers, who's coming off an MVP type of season, you know, I tend to look at, okay, if Aaron Rodgers wants to win a championship, what's the best place to do it? When you look at the NFC, particularly the NFC North, okay, Aaron Rodgers is the best QB in that division by far. The easiest way to get into the postseason is by winning your division. So Aaron Rodgers, just by being in Green Bay, is going to automatically have a leg up into, you know, possibly trying to get back to a Super Bowl. This team is stacked. They got an ability to add more to that roster. And I just think that Aaron Rodgers right now, if his goal is to win a Super Bowl, there's no better place to do it than right there in Green Bay.
Conceivably, you know, he's not going to be let go or anything like that. But you know what? I wouldn't mind seeing Aaron Rodgers in New Orleans, particularly that Drew Brees has tried. That's not going to happen. Again, we all know these things are not going to happen. But when we talk about seeing him, there's a plethora of players. What if Aaron Rodgers was in San Francisco? What if he were in New Orleans? What if he were in Pittsburgh? What if he were several places? I think you could look at Aaron Rodgers and say, excuse me, this brother can do it for you. That's number one. Number two, here's the deal. As recently as last month, if I remember correctly, you know, Mark Murphy, the president and CEO of the Green Bay Packers, refused to comment at a press conference. I think it was right after the 17th game added to an NFL season was announced, guys, and he refused to comment. And he didn't want to talk about whether they were going to restructure the deal or whatever the case may be. And there was no commitment to Aaron Rodgers beyond next season. This brother is fresh off of completing 70% of his passes, 48 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, and a league MVP. And essentially, he may have one more year with the Green Bay Packers. All the things that y'all are saying from a football perspective, to lean on you, Max, and specifically for this conversation, you, D. Woody, can you explain that? How the man is fresh off an MVP, universally recognized as one of the top 2 or 3 quarterbacks in the game of football, clearly with more time ahead, and there is no commitment past next season. Damien Woody, could you explain that?
Well,
Go ahead, Max.
Well, I would say this, Stephen A. I think that was their plan originally, based on when LaFleur came in, the way he looked year one. It looked like he'd regressed, maybe or was getting older. I'll bet you they're reconsidering those plans right now based on how he just looked. And, you know, when they got rid of Brett Favre, it's because they had Aaron Rodgers. Unless Jordan Love is another Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers, the way the Green Bay Packers front office is speaking now, it sounds to me like they'd like to make a deal, and the question is, what does Rodgers? That's what it sounds like to me.
Is somebody willing to entertain the possibility this ain't just about football with them either? Because that's where I'm going.
It could be. Aaron Rodgers could be looking past his football career. But here's what I'm going to say to you, Stephen A. Aaron Rodgers, by the way he's playing, Aaron Rodgers is going to leave on his terms. Okay, he's going to force the Packers' hand. Because if you're playing at an MVP type level, which he won this past season, there's absolutely no reason for you to turn the page to Jordan Love to be the next quarterback. If Aaron Rodgers keep playing at this level, hell, he might even force the Green Bay Packers to trade Jordan Love in the process.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's keep it rolling, guys. A couple more debates we want to get to before we say goodbye. It's time for NFL Draft. What's the preview of the 2021 NFL Draft? That's 2 days away. Let's look at the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland with the 26th overall pick, projected by Todd McShay to select defensive end Quiddy Pay out of Michigan to add to that impressive defense headlined by Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney. In a press conference, quarterback Baker Mayfield spoke about the Browns' identity on offense. Listen up.
Anytime you're going in from year one to year two, in the same system, you're going to make a tremendous jump. But I also think, where we were at before his injury happened on an underthrown ball by me, that we truly didn't have a true identity on offense at that point. And I think, you know, that took our bye week right in the middle of the season last year to really sit down and do a self-scout and for us to grow. So I think, you know, I've talked to Odell. He's very happy where he's at on the rehab process. You know, I'm happy for him. He looks good. He feels good. And, you know, looking forward to, you know, starting where we should.
All right, Baker having Odell's back, as he should. Max, do you think OBJ will be more of a problem or a solution for Baker this season?
I think solution, although I've been on the record as saying I think they're better off without each other. They just don't have chemistry. And they played very well without Odell. But that's the thing. If he's still on the team, Odell has to recognize that's a double-digit win team. And the question is, can they get even better? Can they get over the hump and get to the next level where they're not just contenders, but they're elite contenders, meaning real potential champions? And Odell Beckham Jr., if he's healthy, should be able to make that kind of difference. So I believe, knowing all of that, whatever chemistry issues they have will get worked out, and Odell will be additive to the cause.
So you said that they would be better off without each other, but somehow, some way, he would be more of a solution than a problem?
Yeah, because he sees they were winning without him.
I don't think that's the case. Odell Beckham Jr. is looking to get paid. Odell Beckham Jr. is looking to reestablish himself as one of the premier receivers in the game of football. And last time we saw him, he was targeted 43 times, but only connected with by Baker Mayfield on 23 of those occasions. That's 53.5%. That's not much. And so when you look at it from that perspective, obviously there were some issues that existed between, not between him and Baker Mayfield as individuals, as people, but as performers. You know, and I think that one made the argument, I don't know whether it was you or somebody else, Max, but they made the argument that Odell Beckham Jr. got himself in trouble because he was willing to, you know, look for and target, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. Baker Mayfield was looking to target him extensively, and that was at, you know, at the, you know, just the sacrifice of the Jarvis Landrys of the world and others. So we know they have an elite running game, but more importantly, with Kevin Stefanski there and now them having been a playoff team, I get your thinking, okay, it should be better. But if I'm Odell Beckham Jr., I'm coming off injury. I want to reestablish myself. I want to get paid, which means I'm going to be looking for the ball. And these are wide receivers that we're talking about here. I think a potential problem exists, and I think the Cleveland Browns would be better off moving Odell Beckham Jr. to another franchise, a franchise that is going to target him heavily, feed him the football so he can be satisfied.
Agreed.
I don't know if that's going to happen in Cleveland.
Well, listen, here's the thing that not a lot of people are talking about. When you're injured, you don't feel a part of the team. And then what compounds that is when you're injured and your team is winning. Okay, that's the worst feeling in the world. And trust me, Odell Beckham Jr., I think for the first time in his career, this is going to be the best team he's ever been a part of. And the Cleveland Browns, their identity is not Baker Mayfield, it's not Odell Beckham Jr., it's those two backs in the backfield, that offensive line and those two running backs, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. That's where Odell Beckham Jr. can make his A, because when everybody's focusing on that run game, guess what's going to happen? Everybody's going to be piling up, and Odell Beckham Jr. will be able to showcase what he's been doing his whole career, making big, explosive plays. I wouldn't be looking to try to go anywhere. I'll be looking to try to ride this train with the Cleveland Browns, because, guys, for the first time that, you know, first time in a long time, I don't even know if we've ever said this, the Cleveland Browns are a legit organization.
100%.
They're a legit threat in the AFC.
Let's leave it right there, though, Damian. And you had great insight on that as a player as well, so thank you for that. But I want to get you guys one other story here. So some news from the sneaker world. Kanye West's first pair of Yeezys sold for $1.8 million on Monday, set a world record for footwear. Good thing, because the West and Kardashians need money. Under any circumstance, Stephen A., would you pay $1 million for a pair of shoes?
Hell no. I got better things to do with my money.
Max?
I don't care if that was the first shoe to walk on the moon. It's just the whole thing with collectibles, unless you're investing in something that's going to appreciate and you're going to flip it, it's junk. It's just junk.
Damien?
I try not to sound like the old man in the clouds, so I went and asked my kids about it, And even they were like, nah, dad, this is not even the one. So, nah, I couldn't even go anywhere near $1.8 million for some damn sneakers.
Here's where I would. If my husband or my parents or child or someone needed the shoes and they really needed them and there was some kind of special thing to be able to walk and they had some type of problem.
I can only walk in those $1.8 million.
I'm serious. If they needed some special type of sneaker to be able to walk and enjoy their life and be mobile, then yes, I would. I mean, these Yeezys right. are not those special.
They have magical
What's
powers.
The most you've ever paid for a pair of shoes? Let's go. Damien, come on. You paid a couple grand. You're a liar, Stephen A. You are a liar.
Sneakers,
100,
yes.
150?
Shoes over 1,000. Sneakers, never 150.
Did he
more
say 150?
Yeah. I refuse to incriminate myself.
Yeah, I'm with Max. Goodbye.